This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا. فلما بلغا مجمع بينهما نسيا حوتهما فاتخذ سبيله في البحر سربا. فلما جاوزا قال لفتاه آتنا غداءنا لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا. قال أرأيت إذ أوينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا. قال ذلك ما كنا نبغ فارتدا على آثارهما قصصا. فوجدا عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Welcome, dear viewers, to this episode of the Quranic Pearls, wherein we discuss ayat from the Quran, surah from the Quran, different benefits that can be derived from the Quran. Today, we are looking at the passage from Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf being one of the most important surah to the hearts of the believers, in that every Jumu'ah, a believer is expected to recite Surah Al-Kahf. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Al-Kahf being that very surah that can lead to the illumination of the face of an individual throughout the week. This is the surah that oftentimes as you are browsing the net, as you are Facebooking and Twittering, on the day of Jumu'ah, everybody will recommend to you, go ahead and read yourself Surah Al-Kahf, starting from the night of Jumu'ah till the afternoon, till the sunset time of Jumu'ah. The night of any day, any 24 hours, is always prior to the day of those 24 hours, as opposed to contrary to popular belief. A lot of times people think that when we say Friday night, we really mean Friday at 11 p.m. This is a way of calculating, and this is the way that a lot of countries in modern day calculate, but the Islamic way of calculating time is to look at the night before and the day after, with the exception of the day of Arafah, but that is discussed in the subject of Hajj. So the point over here is that you can take Surah Al-Kahf and read it from the night of Jumu'ah, i.e. the night that is prior to Jumu'ah, and even that will be counted as your Surah Al-Kahf having been read on the day of Jumu'ah. If you feel like the day of Jumu'ah, after Salat Al-Jumu'ah or before Salat Al-Jumu'ah, for a reason or another, either work or family engagements, you'll be very busy. So take your night and engage it in the recital of Surah Al-Kahf. كهف. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. وَإِذْ, every time وَإِذْ comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَذْكُرْ إِذْ. Remember when. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to remind us of a story, and He goes abruptly right into the subject. Because oftentimes, we think that a book that we're supposed to be reading, such as the Qur'an, is going to be a storybook, and it's going to be telling us a whole bunch of stories and, you know, a lot of anecdotes and fables and that kind of stuff. But no, the Qur'an comes into stories with a purpose. And that is so that you take admonishment from the stories. Not so that you read yourself some stories to sleep. That's not the way the Qur'an works. So sometimes you'll notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a certain story will go very abruptly into the crux of the matter and then come outwards with a lot of benefits. Over here, similarly, Allah goes into the crux of the matter without giving you any details of the background. If you want to make it a storybook though, you want to take a storyline out of the Qur'anic stories, what you do is you take all of the stories of the Qur'an and all of the passages of the Qur'an related to one single subject, and you collect them and organize them in order that may not be chronological in terms of its revelation, and may not be chronological in terms of the way it has been written down, but it will be chronological in terms of the series of events. This is how you can take a series of events out of the Qur'an. Over here, Allah goes in with a purpose. Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. Remember when Musa said to his young man that was with him, فَتَاهُ, لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. I will not stop. لَا أَبْرَحُ. I will not stop. I will continue. I will persevere. I will do everything I have to do. There's going to be a lot of difficulty along the way. I'll be able to bear all of that. For what sake? We'll get to that in a minute. حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. Until I get to the meeting point, مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ, meeting point of the two water bodies. What is Bahrain? It's not referring to Bahrain, the country, the modern country by the name of Bahrain. Though even classically, there was a country by the name of Al-Bahrain. And that also included a portion of what we know today as Saudi Arabia. A portion of what we know today as Saudi Arabia was essentially called, especially the eastern, northeastern portion of Saudi Arabia, was called Bahrain. And that includes today what was classically known as Al-Hajab, or Al-Ihsa, or Al-Hufuf, all these are names for the same place. Al-Bahrain was also inclusive of these places. And that's why, if you find in the history books, Abu Huraira went to Al-Bahrain, it's not necessarily referring to the island Bahrain, it's referring to northeastern Saudi Arabia, Arabian Peninsula. So, over here, Bahrain is not referring to that though. Bahrain is referring to two oceans or two water bodies. And particularly, it's referring to the meeting point of the Mediterranean Sea along with the Atlantic Ocean. The place which is known as the Strait of Gibraltar. The Strait of Gibraltar is a small passage of water that connects the two water bodies that I've mentioned, the Mediterranean Sea along with the Atlantic Ocean. This little strait was, you know, classically a very, very strategic point of warfare. Even modern day, but the warfare has changed in modern day, that's why it's not as strategic anymore. So the Muslims and the Christians went to a lot of wars at this particular point. Where exactly is this? It's at the topmost area of North Africa, what is known today as Morocco. And classically, that particular area, and even now it's known as Tanja. And above that is the Strait of Gibraltar, and above that, or more north of that, is what we know today as Spain, and what was classically in the history of Islam, it was known as Al-Andalus. And this is where a lot of the battles occurred between the Muslims and the Christians. And this is where the Muslims crossed over to Europe and started to develop a Muslim dynasty and empire in Europe as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making mention of that locality over here. As the Andalusian scholar, ironically, since we're talking about that same area, Ibn Atiyah mentioned that Al-Bahrain is referring to Bahr al-Andalus, or as I said, the Strait of Gibraltar. So Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُوبًا. Either I'm going to get to this spot, or I'm going to continue forever. حُقُوبًا. I'm just going to continue and continue and continue and I won't stop. حُقُب is a time which is equivalent, according to some, to 80 years. Others say, no, there's no particular limit to it. It's a very, very long time. So based on that, Musa alayhi salam is saying, I'm going to continue for a very, very long time without any particular definite portion of time. I'll just indefinitely continue for the sake of finding whatever I'm trying to search for. So he's saying two things now. One, I'm either going to get to a destination, and that is, as I said, the Strait of Gibraltar, or I'm going to continue until I am able to get to whatever I'm trying to get to. My final goal, not my destination, because destination is over here. If I find what I'm looking for at this destination, so be it. If not, then I'll continue walking and searching. What exactly is he searching for? Musa alayhi salam is in search of knowledge. In search of knowledge. Musa alayhi salam is saying to the young man that is accompanying Musa alayhi salam on his search for knowledge, he's saying to him and talking to him and telling him that my zeal for knowledge, Musa alayhi salam, despite the fact that I am a prophet, not even just a prophet, rather a messenger, not even just a messenger, rather one of the strongest of all messengers, being all of that, even then I am in such severe thirst. I have such severe thirst for knowledge that I'll continue to search for knowledge until I find it, whether I have to walk for centuries or time with an indefinite portion, with an indefinite amount attached to it, I'll continue to walk. No problem. I don't have a problem with that. أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُوبًا. And look at the wordings he says. لَا أَبْرَحُ. I'm not going to stop. He's trying to tell this man that my zeal for knowledge is not going to, there's nothing that can come between me and knowledge because of the zeal that I have. And such is the zeal that we have to adopt in knowledge as well. That no matter what comes your way, when you are looking for knowledge and searching for knowledge, nothing should put a halt to that zeal. Nothing should put a stop to that zeal. You continue, and you search some more. This is, as I said, ulul azmi min al-rusul, one of the most knowledgeable persons of that time. In fact, in certain fields, the most knowledgeable mutlaqan after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of that time. Despite that, Musa knows that there's someone else that knows something that he doesn't know. Not everything, but something that he doesn't know. As the individual, Al-Abd al-Salih, he himself declared that, I know some things, O Musa, that you know not. And you know some things that I know not. All of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. So he knew things that other person didn't even know. Even then he's ready to go and search for knowledge. And such is the case for true students of knowledge. True students of knowledge don't stop anywhere, no matter what the case may be. They will take knowledge from their peers. They will take knowledge from people who are less than them in knowledge. They will take knowledge from people that are more than them in knowledge. They will take knowledge from people who are equivalent in one science, but superior than them in another science. They will take knowledge from anyone. Ibn al-Jawzi, the famous scholar, Ibn al-Jawzi, Abu al-Faraj, Ibn al-Jawzi, he took knowledge at the age of 80. At the age of 80, yes, he was jailed for a certain portion of his life. And at the age of 80, Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he continued to seek knowledge to a degree that he read all of the 10 qira'at to a sheikh after he was released from prison at the age of 80. At that time, Ibn al-Jawzi was a premier scholar, considered one of the elite scholars of that time, but he lacked in one sense, or even if he didn't lack, he wanted to review the science in that sense. So there he found someone that was appropriate for that, maybe much younger than him. Ibn al-Jawzi sat before him, and he sat with the kids, and he started reading to the scholar, and continued reading, and reading, and reading, and reading. And such is the zeal of a person who is really a student of knowledge. If you are a student of knowledge, and you took one course on a subject, and you find that there's someone else teaching that same course, go ahead and take it. Even if that other person may not be as good as the first one, but you know he'll have insights from other angles, go ahead and take it. Such is the case of a student of knowledge. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us benefit from our knowledge and help us learn more and more. Wait with us as we come back after the break to continue the story of Musa alayhi salam. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I'm looking forward to Eden because I can't wait to try some archery, knowledge circles from amazing shuyukh.
Eat together, pray together, learn together.
A 4-day family holiday.
Amazing activities for all the family, inshallah.
It's going to be a blessing to be there. Inshallah, we'll see you there with us.
The Great Golden Gift, I Eat Foods, gifts you 5-star tickets to the holy city of Mecca and Medina. To enter, get your unique code from your nearest store now.
Fasting during the month of Ramadan is one of the five pillars of Islam. Zakat is another, and we can help you fulfill this third pillar. Download our easy guide to calculating your zakat accurately. Ask your questions by email or on the Ask a Question section on our website. You can also view our video library on zakat to learn more. Calculate your zakat online using our unique calculator, also available on your mobile phone. National Zakat Foundation. Get in touch now and fulfill your third pillar with us.
Salam, my brothers and sisters. We at Salam Masjid are requesting your help to save our mosque and madrasa. Please donate so that we may buy this building in one of the UK's most deprived areas and help us teach the next generation. Why waste money on trivial things when you can donate and please Allah instead? We request any and all donations, sadiqa or hasina, with the greatest of gratitude to save our mosque. Call 0161 226 8876 or 079 838 16744. Jazakallah khair.
With the Syrian conflict now in its third year, millions of people have settled in hard-to-reach rural areas, where the lack of food and clean water presents the greatest threat to their survival. But Syria Relief can reach these people. This Ramadan, Syria Relief is launching our Ramadan food parcel campaign to 180,000 people. Please help those who cannot feed themselves. Share your Ramadan blessings.
Welcome back to your viewers to this episode where we are discussing the Quranic pearls, particularly the story of Musa alayhi salam, or at least one aspect or episode of the story of Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued in the story and he said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ صَرَبًا. Now, as they were walking, Musa and his young man, they're walking, talking, trying to get to their spot. Musa alayhi salam was very, very strongly bent on the fact that he's going to get to where he has to get to. Majma' al-Bahrain, Strait of Gibraltar, as we said. So now, when Musa alayhi salam actually reached the place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the scene, and he says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا. When they reached the Strait of Gibraltar, where the meeting point of the two seas is, نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا. They forgot the fish that was with them. They had a fish. Basically, as they were traveling, there's no stations to stop at and get some food, and there's no Mickey D's, any of that. So Musa alayhi salam has some food along with him. His young boy that's with him as well, he's got some food for them. It's cooked. It's already barbecued, everything is ready. Literally mashwi, barbecued fish. They're ready to eat it. So Musa alayhi salam says, now I'm getting kind of hungry. But before they could even remember about their hunger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا. They forgot their hoot at that spot. The very spot where Musa was trying to get to. One, they crossed the spot, so they missed the exit. Literally in modern terms. Number two, they forgot the fish over there. Something happened, the fish slipped out of their basket and they forgot to pick it up, and all of a sudden they were fishless. فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then this fish, it snuck its way, very sneakily went into the ocean. فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. It started slipping and sliding all the way to the ocean. Now, what's unique over here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing Musa alayhi salam a miracle. A fish that was already barbecued, yes, already cooked, everything is ready. And then this fish goes back to life. And then after the fish goes back to life, it starts slipping and sliding and jumping in the right direction going towards the bahar. Can you imagine? Well, you don't have to be able to envision this. You just have to recognize that your Lord is capable of everything. The one who had created things from non-existence can of course bring back the things to life that have been cooked, that have been barbecued, that are already dead. The one that had created you and I from nothing,
from specks, not even specks, from dirt and water. That being or that deity is capable of bringing things back to life, especially if they're already formed in the very form. Even if they're cooked. That's exactly what happened. So Allah says, فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. But you'll notice over here, Allah said it slipped into the water, and He didn't say what the young man will say next. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not shocked at His own capability. Allah knows His own capability, but the young man is shocked. He says, as we'll find out in the following verses, وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا. In a very shocking manner did this fish go into the water. It took its course to the water in a very, very shocking manner. I couldn't believe it, the young man is saying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it slipped right into it. He didn't talk about ajab, it was shocking, it was this or that. Why? Because Allah knows His own capacities, His own capability. Continuing on, the story goes as such, فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ, when they both continued and they crossed the spot that they were trying to get to, Majma' al-Bahrain, قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ, he said to his young boy with him, آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا, give our lunch to us. لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا, this travel that we have, I'm very, very tired of it. Now you'll notice that Musa alayhi salam traveled to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the 40 nights that were promised. Musa alayhi salam traveled to Madian. Musa alayhi salam traveled to Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam did so many travels, and all of those travels does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala list in the book of Allah. But not one travel did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention this statement on the mouth of Musa. It's almost like Musa alayhi salam is a traveler. He knows how to travel. He's professional. He doesn't get tired of travel. Those people that travel a lot, they know how to travel and they don't get sick and tired of it. They're able to manage, they're able to hold their cools, they're able to, you know, stay calm, they know the right way of sleeping, they know the sleeping patterns that they have to adapt for them to not get the jet lag and all of that kind of stuff. So, Musa alayhi salam, in this particular travel, it's unique. He's saying, لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. I'm so tired of this travel. Because of this travel, I'm so tired, I'm feeling exhausted. And if you notice that the travel that he's traveling is for the sake of knowledge. So for the sake of knowledge, you will be exhausted. And even more so than regular travels, why? Because your nafs will be telling you to stop. Shaytan will be telling you to stop. Every single member of society may be looking at you like, what are you wasting your time for? You can just stay home and, you know, you already got a job anyways, right? But for the sake of knowledge, all of those sacrifices and more. Even for the sake of da'wah. You may have to travel. You may have to go from one place to another, and then a third place and fourth place. Miss some sleep. Musa alayhi salam is doing all of that. They continued and continued. And as some of the tafaseer mentioned, they continued for another 2 days. Walking. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. Now, the young boy starts speaking. قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ. Don't you remember when we went and we sat by that huge rock, kind of like the cave, we were relaxing there, having our sleep? فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ. That's where I forgot the fish. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ. And my excuse is that I wasn't forgetful, I was trying to be on the ball with everything, but what happened is shaitan came in my way and made me forget the fish over there. Shaitan, again, is drawing some hurdles. Over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this whole story is about knowledge, right? Allah is mentioning two hurdles that are going to come before you. One is forgetfulness, number two is shaitan. فَمَا وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ. Nobody made me forget except the shaitan. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ. He made me forget. And who made me forget? Shaytan. So two hurdles that are going to come before you. You have to overcome them. فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ. Some people are not capable of overcoming all the hurdles that come before them. If you want knowledge, you have to have the capacity and the capability to overcome all of the hurdles that come before you. Shaytan is going to come before you. Your soul is going to come before you. People are going to come before you. Society will come before you. Money will come before you. You'll be attacked with all of these hurdles. Your forgetfulness will come before you. You'll have to review late night. You'll have to wake up in the morning and read. You'll have to continue reading even until an old age. Some people, some scholars, They're 80, 90 years old. And I remember one of my sheikh, he crossed the age of 100 years of age. He died, rahmatullah alayhi, a couple of months ago. He was reading Al-Bukhari in his bed at that age. All of those factors are going to come before you as hurdles, but you have to cross all of those hurdles. You have to propel your way above those hurdles and be able to cross them. And that's what Musa alayhi salam is able to do over here. وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا. Now, the young boy is talking, he says, that fish was able to make its course to the ocean or whichever direction it wanted to go in a very shocking and unique manner. Almost in a miraculous manner, because that boy is shocked at the capacity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So Allah didn't say it did it in a shocking manner. It's that he just slid its way into the direction of the ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows he's capable of bringing back things to life. قَالَ ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. Now you'll notice that earlier on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when both of them crossed the Strait of Gibraltar, مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا. Both of them forgot the fish. When the young boy is talking, he says, I forgot the fish. And shaitan made me forget it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses both of them with their neglect and forgetfulness. Why is that? The reason for that is because the leader in a travel is responsible for those people that follow him. So Musa alayhi salam was leading the travel, and since Musa alayhi salam didn't check up on the boy, he forgot. Why wasn't Musa alayhi salam checking? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind of like rebuking subtly Musa in the statement, saying that if you were a true leader, which he was, but sometimes people are forgetful, Allah says he forgot. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that. Though the duty was assigned to this young man, the young man had responsibility of bringing the fish with him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to send us a subtle message that if you are a leader in your community, if you're a leader in your society, if you're a leader for your people, then you have to make sure that you're the one responsible, even if they don't end up taking the responsibility for things. But at the end of the day, when you really come down to bringing it to humanized courts, the man is saying, Nasit, I forgot. So there's two things over here. Then Musa alayhi salam, you'll notice his beautiful manners. He's tired. He is mentioning the fact that he's exhausted from travel. He's in search for things. When you're searching, you're driving around. Imagine yourself driving downtown. You're searching for something. How exhausting is that? Musa alayhi salam is traveling across the continent searching for something. He's extremely exhausted. Despite the fact that this is the case, when the young boy says, I forgot the fish, Musa didn't get mad. He very simply said, that's exactly what we wanted. قَالَ ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. That's exactly what we wanted. We didn't want any more than that. And you'll notice that Musa alayhi salam is very eager. Why is he very eager? He's so eager that, as we mentioned in another episode, sometimes when you're very fast at speech, you omit letters that are not very necessary. So a vowel, maybe an elongating of a certain word in a certain direction. You may end up doing that because you think that it's not very important. And you want to speak really fast, right? So over here, that's exactly what's happening. Musa alayhi salam wants to speak fast. So he says, قَالَ ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. نَبْغِي instead of نَبْغِي. The entire word is بَغَى يَبْغِي. And there is no reason for the ya to be omitted. It's not majzoom, as some of you may assume if you know some grammar. It's not majzoom. There's no reason for it to be omitted. But Musa alayhi salam is speaking fast. Allah is capturing his speech. So he says, نَبْغِي. Instead of saying نَبْغِي. Why? Because Musa alayhi salam is so eager to get to that knowledge. Musa alayhi salam continues and he says, فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. Instantaneously, fa, it always denotes an instant reaction to something. Instantaneously did they turn back in the same direction that they came from. عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا. They started following their path. You know when you turn around and you lose your direction, you're trying to, no longer is your map before you working anymore. Why? Because you're going back from where you came from and you're already lost. It's even more difficult for you to find your way, right? So even now, despite the fact that it will be difficult, Musa alayhi salam knows he doesn't have a GPS, he doesn't have a map, all of those things. Despite that, Musa alayhi salam turns right back and starts walking. That day and a half or 2 days that he'd already crossed, he walks back and gets to wherever he has to get to. And bi-ibnillahi ta'ala, in our next episode, we will discuss the completion of this story. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.